the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold or hot, nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on the throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Go ahead and have a seat. I don't know where you are on your spiritual journey. Some people, they might find themselves in their spiritual journey in a season of questioning, or on a journey of questioning, where they're questioning all kinds of things in their walk with God. You know, they're questioning how things are happening, or maybe certain passages of scripture, all kinds of things that they're just questioning. And then there are some people who are just in a season of like being immersed and just being interested in what Jesus is doing and just being on fire, you know, just being on fire for God. You know, prayer times are easier. You know, reading scripture, they just go in it and dive in it. And they just seeing themselves like, yeah, this is it. You know, you're feeling God's presence. And then there are times when, you know, other people, or maybe you could be going through a season of just being disinterested, or actually maybe being indifferent, or feeling like your spirituality is, still at the moment. Things are not really moving. And this is what's happened with this church, in the church of Laodicea, that they found themselves in this trap of spiritual indifference, that they are not, you know, they're not on fire for God. They're finding themselves that their spirituality is stale, is apathetic. So Jesus Christ speaks to this church in Laodicea these challenging words. In fact, this is the only letter that it's written in the Revelation where there's no like positive thing. You know, Jesus never says something positive to them. Because in the other churches, he would like say something nice and then rebuke them. But this one is just like rebuke, 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 rebuke through and through. And he says to them, you are neither cold nor hot, you are lukewarm. Now that picture, like these guys understood exactly what Christ meant when he said to them, you are lukewarm. Because Laodicea was a wealth city. This is where, if you want to do business, you would go to Laodicea. This is where the man is at. Just like Lilongwe. This is where the man is at. This is where you go. If you want to make it in life, you're going to go to Laodicea. Now, 30 years prior to this message, the city of Laodicea experiencing a devastating earthquake that destroyed a lot of things in Laodicea. But the people did an amazing job where they rebuilt the city and they brought it back. In fact, they made it even better than it used to be. And physically speaking, they only had one lack, which was a water situation. They had water problems. They decided that we're going to build these tunnels or these aqueducts that will come from two cities. There's a city of Colossae, which had cold water, and they built a tunnel, or an aqueduct, that would bring cold water to their city. And then on the other side, they had a town of Hierapolis, which would bring water. And Hierapolis had hot springs, so the water from there would be hot water, and they would come to Laodicea. But when this water would reach to Laodicea, would never be as cold as it was in Colossae or as hot as it was in Hierapolis. So the water became lukewarm. It became lukewarm. And to some people, it made them feel nauseous as well, that they would spit the water out. So Jesus Christ, when he says, you are neither cold nor hot, he's not saying just be hot and be cold. No, you're not as useful as you were from, you know, like from Colossae, or water from Helopolis is hot water from these hot springs. You're not as useful. And when I drink you, you make me want to vomit you because you are now lukewarm. And we can find ourselves being like that, where we're in a season that, you know, Jesus' word doesn't really matter to us. The way we live our lives, it's as if Jesus Christ has no say, or whatever he says never really has an influence on our lives. We can find ourselves living our lives in such a way that we want something from God, but we are unwilling to be what God calls us to be. We can find ourselves being spiritually disengaged, spiritually indifferent, spiritually apathetic, spiritually stale, spiritually stale. Now, from this passage, I just want to mention a few things that we see in this passage that are like signs of spiritual indifference. Sign number one, verse 17, you say, I am rich and have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. The first sign is when you trust what you have more than you trust in God's faithfulness. When you trust in more what you have more than in God's faithfulness. The people in Laodicea looked at themselves and thought, there is absolutely nothing that I need right now. I have got what I need. I am rich. So they trusted more in the stuff that they had than in God's faithfulness. I know how this works, so I should be okay. I have experience, so I should be okay in this area. I'll be okay. I have connections, so my business should be moving fine. I don't need God. I have connections. I'm going to find a job whenever I need it. I don't need anyone. I don't need God in my life. If I'm looking for favors, I know who to call. I should be okay. I should be all right. I do not need God. And they trusted more in what they had than in God's faithfulness. And we can be showing this. Maybe sometimes we may not really be saying, I am rich, or I don't need God. But our actions can be actually speaking this reality. When we don't involve Jesus even in our decisions, like we don't want him to have a say. We don't want him to have a say in our lives. Whether we're going to go through there or through that, I don't want Christ to have a say. And the way you live your life can show this, that you're trusting more in what you have than in God's faithfulness. I have figured it all out, so I will do it by myself. But the invitation here is that we would trust in God's faithfulness and not in the stuff that we have. Trusting in God's faithfulness means that knowing that God will always fulfill his word. And because God will always fulfill his word, I can trust more in what he says than in what I tell myself. I can trust more in what he says than in the stuff I can do for myself. So where are you at spiritually? Are you trusting in the stuff that you have? Or are you trusting in God's faithfulness? Sign number two of spiritual indifference is when you are no longer broken by your sin. When you are no longer broken by your sin. The 17, the second part says, but you do not realize. You do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. When there is spiritual indifference, it's so hard for us to recognize our own sin, to recognize our own brokenness. We cannot see that we are wretched. We cannot see that we are poor, blind, and pitiful. And I think often it's not that we cannot see. It's that we see it, but we choose not to see it. We choose to justify, you know, our sin. So you might find yourself justifying your sinful behaviors. Justifying them. Or you find yourself that you're hiding. You're running away. You are choosing a life of secrecy. You're hiding. Now, there's a big difference between secrecy and privacy. Secrecy is you're keeping your sin hidden so that your sin can continue to flourish or to be perpetuated or to continue to grow. So you keep it under the wraps so that it continues to be there. It continues to grow in your life. Privacy, on the other hand, is you keep something hidden, not for the sake of secrecy, but for the sake of healing. That you want to experience healing for your life. You want to experience healing for yourself. As a person. And those are two different things. And God wants us to come to Him. And when you begin to not be broken, or when you're finding that you're not really being broken by your sin, know that there's spiritual indifference in your life. Because when you're broken by your sin, first of all, you're going to recognize that your sin breaks God's heart. Your sin breaks the one that you love. It breaks Him, and therefore that breaks you. But at the same time, you go to Him so you can receive mercy and grace. You can receive compassion because He has that for you. And I think in the same vein, another sign to that is when you stop being broken by the sins of others. And this often shows up that when we see the brokenness in other people's lives, that instead of mourning their sin, we begin to gossip about it. That instead of mourning their sin, we find ourselves laughing about it, making jokes about other people's shortfalls. When you begin to do that, you're being spiritually indifferent. Your spirituality is getting to be stale. Because when we see the sins of other people, we need to be broken. We need to mourn that. We need to mourn that sin so that God can bring help and healing for them. Another sign of spiritual indifference is when you choose seclusion over connection. When you choose seclusion over connection. Verse 17 says, you say I'm rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. Whenever you think I do not need a thing, what's going to happen is that you're going to begin to live your life in such a way that shows that I don't need to reach out to anybody, and therefore I don't want anybody else to reach out to me. So you begin to build walls. You begin to build walls. And this seclusion isn't just like, oh, I'm keeping myself so that I grow, I get more connection with God. No, you're literally keeping yourself away because you feel like I've got it all. I don't need community at all. I am by myself, and that's good for me. But leading a life of seclusion is a sign of spiritual indifference. When you are like more inward looking and never looking outward, never saving people, never wanting to be there for other people, to connect with God's community, that can be a sign of spiritual indifference. How do we deal with this? How do we deal with it? You can never deal with spiritual indifference by staying away from Jesus. You can only deal with this when you go to Jesus. So the words of Jesus here says, just read you this passage. It says, verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Be earnest and repent. Repentance means that there's a change of mind, means that you agree with God. You agree with God that what God says is true. Therefore, I will turn towards what He's saying. You agree with God that His ways, His works are better than mine. So therefore, you turn and you go to God. And what that means is that you begin to live a surrendered life. So what curbs spiritual indifference is a surrendered life. A life that's surrendered to Jesus. Because indifferent people never experience transformation, but only surrendered people do. Indifferent lives will never experience transformation. Only surrendered lives will. And therefore, if you're willing to surrender to Jesus right now, He's going to bring change and transformation in your life. In your life. Christ offers an invitation in this passage. Verse 18 says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. He brings an invitation to us. I counsel you, pay attention to this. Buy from me, he says. Now, that's not literal that we're going to take money and give to Jesus. Our kwachas will not be enough. Our dollars will not be enough. But Christ offers something amazing to us, and He gives it all for free. And the only way we can buy it from Him is when we surrender our lives to Jesus. When we surrender ourselves to Jesus. Why should you surrender to Jesus? It's because Jesus has something better for you than what you have for yourself. Jesus offers you something better And therefore, you can offer yourself to Jesus. He says, I'll give you gold. In fact, refined gold. I'll give you true and pure riches. I'll give you clothes to cover you, to cover your shame. Are you feeling shame right now? Are you in shame right now? We often say here that Jesus never says shame on you, but he says shame off you. That's what he says to you right now. Are you in shame? Jesus has something better for you. He wants to remove that and gives you clothes that will cover your shame. He will bring healing to your eyes so you can see better. You can see better. So therefore, we surrender to Jesus. We surrender to him. How do you surrender to Jesus? We surrender to God when we hear God's rebuke and receive God's discipline. Verse 19 says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. We must surrender to God when we hear God's rebuke. We must receive God's discipline. God rebukes and disciplines the people he loves. He loves you. If God is going to come and point out something in your life, it's because he loves you. If God is going to discipline you, it's because God loves you, not because he hates you. He is for you. So consider God's rebukes and God's disciplines as God's grace. That I am for you. I show you grace. There are moments when God's disciplines or rebukes are just in the telling. When God comes with just his words and he shows you. He tells you about your sin. And then there are times when God shows you your sin. Hey, can you see what you're doing here? And you're like, oh man, I had no idea. This is what I was doing. And God will show you God's discipline. There are moments when God will shock you. Will shock you. Or maybe you found out right in your sin. And the reason why God shocks you in that moment is that so that you yourself are shocked by your own sin. It's not embarrassing, but that you are so shocked by your own sin, you're like, I cannot believe this is how far I've fallen. Sometimes God will break you to show you your sin. And when God tells you, when God shows you, when God shocks you, when God breaks you, consider that grace. That God is for me because his rebuke and his discipline is actually good for me. So therefore, I need to change my mind. I need to repent of my sin. Verse 20 says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. We surrender to God by welcoming his company. We welcome his company in our lives. Jesus says, I am standing at the door and I knock. Now, this picture is sad, at the same time amazing. It is sad because this letter is written to a church. And this church has Jesus outside. The church is on the inside, but Jesus Christ is outside. He is knocking. That's sad. Very, very sad that you can meet up and keep Jesus out. It's also amazing because Jesus never goes away. He is still standing and knocking on the door. He never goes away. He never goes away. And he says, whoever is willing to open the door, I'll come in and I'll dine with them. If you're willing today to open up your heart, the door of your heart, he is willing to come in. He's willing to come in your life and be with you, stand with you. How can you apply this today? Number one, have a better view of God. See God as he is. In this passage, Jesus Christ introduces himself by saying, I am the Amen, the true one. I am the true witness. I am the faithful one. That we see God for who he truly is. That our God is faithful, our God is beautiful. See God for who he is. And when you begin to see who God is, that is going to form a heart of worship in you, which will draw you more and more to God, that you continue to go to God more and more. Number two, remember that you are better with God than you are without him. You are better with God than you are without him. No matter whatever stage of life or your spiritual journey you're at, you need to remember you're better with God. So better you go towards God. You're better with God than you are aware without him. And lastly, continue to be curious. Continue to be interested in the things of God. Continue to be interested. I think it's Paul who talks about, I continue to press on so that I might know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the power of his resurrection. There is more that we can know in God. There's more that we can learn. There's more to God. So we should continue to press on. We should continue to be curious, to be interested. We should continue. We should keep on. Just you close your eyes for a minute. Some of you know where you are now. And you can see it could be most areas of your life spiritually, or maybe one area of your life. And you know I have been indifferent spiritually in this space, in this area of my life. The invitation from Jesus is that he offers you something better. And therefore, he is more welcoming to you if you repent. Open yourself up, because he's willing to come in. I want to just give you this space that you can offer your prayer to God. A prayer of repentance. A prayer where you invite Jesus in. You say, Jesus, okay, I surrender now. I surrender. I surrender now, Jesus. Come in. For I'm better with you than I am without you. Just offer that prayer to Jesus. God, we come to you. We come to you, God, because you offer something better than the things that we've been holding on. So help us surrender. Help us surrender to you, Jesus. Help us surrender our lives to you, Jesus. Help us surrender to you, Jesus. And God, I pray that we will live surrendered lives as a congregation, but also as individuals. I pray, God, that we will trust in your grace and in your goodness, knowing that we will be okay with you. We will be all right with you. So help us, Lord. I pray, God, may you offer grace and compassion to your people in this space. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you can, would you please stand as we worship God one more time?